Revelation 20:4-6. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Brothers and sisters, Paul said that to depart and to be with Christ is far better than living here, delighting in the fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. So it's far better to die and to go to heaven. Do we have a real sense of what is involved on our death? Why does the Bible say that to die is gain for Christians? First, because of what stays in the past. Sin, disease, limitations, frustration, sadness, grief, and mourning. Second, because of what will come in the future. Holiness, relief, direct communion with Christ, which is to be with him. And to be with believers like David, Daniel, Isaiah, Peter, Paul, James. And they are with Jesus right now. So be with them. That will be awesome. In Revelation 20:4-6, we can see one more reason why to depart and to be with Jesus is far better. Because it means to effectively take part in his kingdom. However, let me show you how the church was under persecution when John received this revelation. So remember, some believers were being beheaded, like James and Paul. Others were being burnt in public places. Others were being devoured by hungry beasts because they refused to confess Caesar is Lord. Of course, Jesus Christ was with each one of them, sustaining them till the end. Because he had promised that, and he was fulfilling his promises. He was with his people. Even during times of persecution and death. Nevertheless, beyond his spiritual companionship, Jesus encouraged the persecuted church with wonderful revelations of the souls of the beheaded as being supported and victorious, enjoying close fellowship with him in heaven. So Revelation 6:9 says, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. These souls not only are with Jesus Christ, which is something wonderful in itself, and far better than everything here in this world, but they are reigning with Jesus Christ in heaven. In other words, using Hendrickson's words, here below, a few years of suffering, there, in that better and better land above, they live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. What a comfort. In fact, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Romans 8:18. And 2 Corinthians 4 says, for our light affliction, look at this, Paul calls all our affliction, even an entire life of affliction, he calls this light affliction. Why? Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, because it's for but for a moment. just during this time in this world, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18. In all sufferings in this world, having Jesus Christ at our side compensates, because nothing is comparable to the wonder of being with Jesus Christ in heaven, reigning with Him. About those 1,000 years, remember that this number is not literal. It symbolizes an extended period which runs from the ascension of Christ until the last day. So we must not expect a future establishment of this kingdom of literal 1,000 years. No, because this period is not literal. It's an extended period of time between Jesus' ascension and His second coming. So Christ reigns today. So Christ reigns today with the saints in heaven. It also means that now is the amazing opportunity for the missionary church, because the imprisonment of Satan represents the missionary advance of the church, as we saw last week in verses 1 through 3, even though I personally believe that Satan is already released from this imprisonment. Because we can see tons of lies flooding the world. This is impressive. And everybody uses lies all the time. And we can see false doctrines, false establishments, and we can see false statements about creation, about the universe, about God's providence, about everything, about the church, about behavior. And they're trying to deny the Bible and to deny the Judeo-Christian values. You know? So, brothers and sisters, we need to be steadfast in this Word of God, because of these lies around us. Satan is already seducing people all over the world. He is blinding nations right now. So now let's see what is involved in the reign of the saints with Christ during this time between Christ's ascension and His second coming. First of all, it's a celestial reign, verse 4. This affirmation is important because there is a premillennialist interpretation that understands the reign of Jesus with the saints, and they believe that they will, kingdom of Jesus, this reign of Jesus with the saints will occur in the future. And they will occur here on earth in the future. And there is a very big problem about that, because this passage is not saying that this reign is on earth. It's in heaven. It's in heaven. The problem with this interpretation is that the text begins saying, "Then I saw thrones, and seated on them were those to whom the authority to judge was committed." So Jesus said in Revelation 3:21 that He would give to those who conquer the privilege of sitting down on His throne with Him. And where is this throne? Where is this throne? According to Revelation 4:2, this throne is in heaven. In light of this text, therefore, the possibility of this kingdom to be earthly is ruled out. However, there is other evidence that this reign occurs in heaven and not on earth. In verse 4, the text says, "Also I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads and or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. You see, John does not see resurrected bodies, but only souls. He's seeing disembodied souls of the martyrs because he identifies them as the beheaded. This kingdom is in heaven because the souls of those killed due to their testimony of Christ's gospel are there. They are in heaven. Revelation 6:9 says that John saw these souls under the altar, that is, in heaven. This kingdom is in heaven. In some passages, you can take the word soul as referring to the whole person, body plus soul. But they call them only soul. They don't mention body, you know? We call this synecdoche, when we take a part as the whole. That is the case in Genesis 46:27, whose original version in Hebrew speaks of nefesh, literally souls, who moved out to Egypt. This is also the case of Ezekiel 18:20, which says, the soul who sins shall die. But we know that it's not a reference only to the immaterial part of human being. It's the reference of the whole person, body plus soul. But it calls them soul. This is synecdoche. Soul here must be understood as the entire person. But the same does not occur here in Revelation 20:4. Due to an emphasis on the distinction between body and soul. There is no synecdoche here in Revelation, because they are the souls of the beheaded. At the very least, they would be missing the head. These souls are all those who have suffered death for Christ's sake. They lost everything in this world. They lost their head and life. They did not worship the beast. They did not live in accordance with him, receiving his mark on their hand and on their forehead. And you must remember that the mark of the beast on their hand, it means they work for the beast. And the mark on their forehead means their thoughts are devoted to the beast. So in this case, they had no mark on their hands and on their forehead. So they served the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't serve the beast. However, even losing everything of what is valuable to worldly people, obviously, the redeemed gained what really matters. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. This really matters. To reign with Jesus Christ in heaven. In Ephesians 2:6, Paul said that God seated us with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And when a believer dies, this indeed occurs. In Matthew 19:28, Jesus said to his disciples, "Assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. But this reign will last 1,000 years, that is, it endures now and will continue until the return of Christ. And after that, they will not be the souls of the beheaded anymore. They will be resurrected and fully redeemed saints. They will not reign for a limited period of time, even a long time, 1,000 years. But they will reign forever and ever, according to Revelation 22:5. Finally, this reign occurs in heaven Because heaven is the place where Christ lives and reigns. Christ opened this sealed scroll in Revelation 5 in heaven. The book of Acts tells the event when Christ was taken up and disappeared in a cloud, that is, in heaven. Acts 1, 6 through 11. In Hebrews 1, 3, it says that Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Christ lives and reigns in heaven, from where He will come again to judge the living and the dead. So this throne is in heaven. It's a celestial reign. Second, reign of all the redeemed. We can see this in verses 5 and 6. This reign is the reign of all the redeemed. Verse 5 begins speaking of the rest of the dead. Those who were not redeemed by Christ. So they are the rest of the dead. They died, but not in the same way as the beheaded, according to verse 4. All unsaved dead are included here. They have no part in the first resurrection, nor will they reign. The first resurrection is a reference to a preliminary resurrection in contrast to the final resurrection. So I'm going to say this again because this is very important. So the first resurrection is a reference to a preliminary resurrection in contrast to the final resurrection, which will take place on the last day. So the final resurrection will be in the last day. But the first resurrection occurs before that. The Bible speaks of the first death as a preliminary and bodily, and the second death as one of definitive, final, and spiritual character. And similarly, the first resurrection refers to the encounter of believers with Christ, when they will anticipate the delights of heaven and life without sin, but in a preliminary way, until the time of the second, final resurrection when Jesus returns. This is why resurrection is mentioned by Paul, along with being seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in Ephesians 2, verse 6. The first resurrection corresponds to the experience of to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. This is the first resurrection. We call this death or physical death, but the Bible calls this the first resurrection. That's why Paul said this is far better. To die and be with Christ is far better. It's better than anything in this world. Therefore, those who die in Christ have part in the first resurrection. That's why we shouldn't be afraid of death. No. Death is not a bad thing for a Christian. It's a horrible thing for unbelievers. But for a Christian, it's something amazing. It's the first resurrection. Understanding this, some Christians went to the fireplace, you know, just rejoice in the Lord because they would die, burnt, but they would depart and be with Christ, which is far better. That's why we shouldn't be afraid of death. Because death for a Christian is the first resurrection, is to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Finally, verse 6 reveals the blessing of those who have part in the first resurrection. The text says, "Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. But they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with Him for 1,000 years. So they are blessed for several reasons. First, the second death has no authority over them. They will rise for eternal life on the last day. And second, they will be priests of God and of Christ, so they will offer perfect worship Third, they will reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. So they will delight in the precious victory of Jesus Christ for them. In Christ, we are more than conquerors. In fact, brothers and sisters, to depart and be with Christ is far better. We have no reason, as I said, to fear death. We have no reason to fear disease. We need to set our heart in heaven and not here on earthly things. Perfection and true fellowship with God are there. So do not expect satisfaction here and now. We can win in our professional career. We can see our dreams coming true. Our dreams to purchase some goods can come true. We can develop a good marriage. But we will remain sinners here and now. We'll be sinners. We could disappoint somebody at any time. Here, we sin against God. However, there is no worry. Disappointment. There in heaven, there is no frustration or threats. Only peace. Only true happiness, because God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, and there shall be no more pain. For the former things have passed away. Revelation 21:4. When we were preparing to come to the United States in 2013, Legion and I, Pedro and Laura, we started saying things like they do here. We were in Brazil, but we were kind of anticipating some experience we would have here in the United States. Because we would come to the United States in 2014. So in 2013, I started watching movies and in English and trying to be more acquainted to American culture, you know. Pedro started texting to English-speaking Christian teenagers. I started talking to my English-speaking friends, and Legion started looking for places to sightsee in Grand Rapids area before we moved out there. And similarly, as we know that we are going to heaven, let's practice things they practice in heaven. In Colossians 3:1-4, Paul recommended us to think of things above in heaven. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears. So when Christ appears, and He is our life, look at that. Then you also will appear with Him in glory. Let's set our minds there, brothers and sisters. And let's live according to the lifestyle of heaven. Let's live sanctified lives, thinking of the perfect fellowship with God and our neighbors there. Let's desire living in heaven more than the greatest treasure here in this world. Let's love our Lord more than everything here that we have here, because He provided this great and amazing salvation, which includes being free from pain, crying, and disease. It also includes to be a conqueror and to reign with Christ in heaven. May God bless us and comfort us with this message. Amen.